speaking about the Aboriginals and the Pygmies, is there any reason why you would want to keep a child of God from hearing about him? But let's bring it home, because I don't know any Pygmies. I don't know any Aboriginals. I mean, from Australia, I don't. What about your friends? Is there any reason for them? Is there any reason why you would keep them from knowing what you know? From hearing what you hear? You think about that. It's easy to talk about, you know, way over yonder in Africa. Let's bring it to your workplace and your circle of influence. It's all. Sometimes I think we're almost like kids that are playing around other kids. And we have something that we don't want them to play with. You ever seen kids do that? They'll play with something. Somebody might be interested in what they got, and you know what they do? They just take it and do it like that. Let's not be that way when we're talking about the Word of God. Speaking of the Word of God, I want to continue on in, and we're almost done. We've got a few more foundations that Paul was laying down for Timothy. I want to read some of them. I'm going to skip a lot of chapter 3. And part of chapter 2, Paul had gone on and given Timothy some instructions about purging himself from vessels of dishonor, that if they did that, any man did that, that he would be sanctified, a vessel unto honor, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. And he goes on and he talks and gives Timothy some warnings about those that are coming in the last days. And I want us to remember, this is in first verse of chapter 3, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Perilous times. Do you think Paul knew what he was talking about? Do you think God knows what he was talking about? Do you think perilous times are going to come? They are going to come. Yea, they're already here.
Amen. That's right.
And Paul gives Timothy some instructions about how to live amongst these people. And to, again, in verse 11, to endure, Paul was talking about his enduring, his long-suffering, enduring persecutions and afflictions. He said, "But out of them all the Lord delivered me." And he said in verse 12 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." How many times has Paul brought this up to Timothy?
A lot.
A lot. Do you think those that live godly are going to suffer persecution? Yes, you are. And the reason why you are is because you're abrasive to the world.
Right.
And if you're going to live godly, then the world is abrasive to you. If things are smooth for you all the time, then you probably ought to do some self-inspection. He says, but evil men and seducers shall wax better and better. No. He said, worse and worse. Do you think evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse? Do you think the intensity of evil men is going to increase? Yes, that's what he means. Do you think the number of evil men as seducers and deceivers are going to get worse and worse and increase? Yes, it is. They're going to use more and more tactics to hit you from every front. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. You know, not only are they deceived themselves, but they're taking their own deceit and trying to get you to be deceived. They're trying to deceive you. This is talking about both. They both deceive and they are deceived. Now, then he says to Timothy, but, son, but, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. I want you to understand that there have been a lot of books written about survival. I mean, I like those, being a Boy Scout and all that stuff. I like reading about what to do in situations where you might need some help. And I've thought about that show, Castaway. Have y'all ever seen that? About him stranded on a desert island, and man, if he would have had a knife, that would have been great. Okay? But if you were stranded, what's the one thing that you need above all else? What would you take with you if you could have one thing? What would you take? Would you take a piece of rope? Would you take a lighter for fire? Would you take a knife, a hatchet, a blanket? What would be the one thing that you would take? You know, there's a lot of books written on survival. But you know what? The one thing that you need that will get you by is not a knife, although they're good. The one most important tool for survival is knowledge. Knowledge. You got that? What is Paul telling Timothy? He's saying, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of. Paul's telling Timothy that your learning, your understanding of the Scriptures is your single best survival tool for this world, for life on this earth. Can you imagine what your life would be like if you had not this knowledge? Can you imagine what your life is? What it could be if you knew more about God and knew more about His Word. And that from a child, Paul says, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, that's an important verse. Paul says to Timothy that these scriptures are not going to bring you salvation, but they're able to make you wise to it. Who would you keep this from? If the scriptures are able to make the child of God wise unto salvation, not only wise as to what salvation is and what salvation does, but wise to who brought it and what wonderful blessings are in it. Not only the salvation which is in that is eternal glory, but the salvation that is in Christ Jesus that comes through the gospel. Right? It's able to make you wise unto salvation. And the pygmies and the aboriginals, they need the gospel too, so that they also could be wise unto salvation. He's not talking to Timothy to let him know, you need to take this out so you can get them people from out of the pit of the burning hell into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. That's not what the gospel's purpose is. The gospel's purpose is to make you wise unto salvation. And these scriptures are holy scriptures. Do y'all believe that? The scriptures are holy scriptures. What is God? He's holy. What does that mean? Is God a jealous God? Yes, He is. Is God a righteous God? Yes, He is. Is God a vengeful God? Yes, He is. Is He a merciful God? Yes, He is. Is He a gracious God? Yes, He is. Is He an angry God? Yes, He is sometimes. But you know what? All of those holiness is not just another trait of God. His holiness, three times, thrice holy, 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 right? Is all of the attributes and character of God rolled up under that one heading of holy. The scriptures are a lot of different things under the heading of holy scriptures. There's a lot of things that the scriptures are. Isn't it? Sometimes they come to you and they're very convicting, aren't they? Sometimes the scriptures come to you and they're very comforting, aren't they? Sometimes they come to you and they enlighten you about your life. They're instructive. The scriptures are holy. You know why they're holy? Not because they have all those attributes about them, but because of who gave them. The holy God gave the scriptures. This is very important. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That is a big subject too. Through faith that is in Christ Jesus. What comes first? The root or the fruit? I mean, let's just be real. Let's plant a tree and see which one comes first. Does that tree bear fruit before it even takes root? No. The root bears the fruit. The fruit doesn't bear the root. Right? Where does faith come from? It comes from God. You don't conjure faith up in your mind and then you get God. God is the first actor. And, I mean, not A-C-T-O-R, A-C-T-E-R, actor. I guess. Is that a word? He's the one that does the first action. Let me say it like that. He's not an actor like, is in Hollywood. Their whole purpose is to deceive you, isn't it? They try to get you to that they're always something that they're not. You ever think about that? That's their whole purpose. That's a rabbit I chased. You got that for free. Now, he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. What is doctrine? Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is instruction. Doctrine is basic principles that are taught. That's what doctrine is. When you go up to ask somebody, what's the doctrine of your church? They may or may not know, because they might not have ever heard about the reality and the importance of doctrine. Doctrine. That's what the Scriptures are profitable for. Profitable for doctrine. You notice that all these Scriptures are not what it doesn't say they're profitable for. It doesn't say that they're profitable for pulling you out of the pit of hell and deliver you into glory. It does not say that they're used for that. But it does say they're very important and profitable for doctrine. For reproof. That means to reprove something. Prove it again. Prove it again. Now I know sometimes reproof, it's a softer word than rebuke. A lot of times reproof and rebuke are used in the same verse. A reproof means to say, okay, you're kind of getting off the way. Remember these things. It's what Paul is doing to Timothy all through these foundational principles. He's reproving them again. It's profitable for that. It's profitable for correction. For instruction in righteousness. That's what the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, are for. Therefore, instruction in righteousness. Now, he says that the man of God may be perfect. That means complete. You know, what the minister has available to him to study from these holy Scriptures are all he needs to read. I'm not saying it's wrong to read, but there are no other Scriptures. This is not an incomplete book, is my point. This book is complete. And Paul says, if you, and you know, of course, we told him to study, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. That means all the way through, completely furnished unto all good works. You know, when your house is furnished, you know, first house Sonia and I ever bought, we had a realtor, we loved him, his name was John. John told us, he said, you know, y'all might qualify for a house that you could get way down there in that really big subdivision, them nice ones in Jackson. He said, but I know people that bought a house that they could, you know, they qualified for that, the highest level that they qualified for, and they went on and bought it, and they didn't have money enough to furnish it. So they lived scantily because they wanted to put on a big show for the neighbors so that they would see my house, but they didn't want anybody to come inside. It wasn't furnished. It wasn't complete. And Paul's saying, Timothy, you have these Scriptures, and these Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation, and you study them, and you'll be completely and perfectly furnished to be able to do all the things that you need to do as far as the good works of your ministry. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Y'all believe that?
Amen.
What does that mean? Does that mean that God just spoke it in their ears and they just dictated it down? Does it mean that they wrote things down that they didn't understand? Does it mean that God dictated to them word for word what to put down? What does it mean? I want you to start thinking. I want you to ponder about it. There's a lot of theories out there about what this means. I'll tell you that there were some things. Well, let me read some statistics for you. I got on the internet and I started looking at some research groups. And there are four different categories that they had in this study. Now, this was last year, about this time last year. This is a year old. They haven't updated it yet. They have 20% of the people are considered, in America, are considered Bible engaged. That means that they view the Bible as A, the actual, or B, the inspired Word of God with no errors, or C, the inspired Word of God with some errors. That's the group. That's the best group. Bible engaged. So even part of this 20% of Americans believes that the Word of God is inspired, but it's got some errors in it. Does that shock you? Don't shock me. Then we've got the one next down, and this is the biggest group. They're considered Bible. Oh, and the Bible engaged, the highest group, they read, use, or listen to the Bible 4 times a week or more. 4 times a week. They're engaged in the Bible 4 times a week. Bible friendly. They view the Bible as A, the actual, or B, the inspired Word of God with no errors. They read, use, or listen to the Bible fewer than 4 times a week. Now, you don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about where you're at. Bible, that's 38%. That's the biggest group. 38% are considered Bible friendly. Bible neutral. They view the Bible as the inspired Word of God, but it has some factual or historical errors, or it is not inspired but tells how the writers understood the ways and principles of God. They read, use, or listen to the Bible 1 time a month or less. These are Bible neutral. And then you have the Bible skeptics. That's 23% of the Bible neutral. Then we have the Bible skeptics. They view the Bible as just another book of teachings written by men. Now, of this 19%, that's 20% of Americans, 19%, of this 19%, that's one-fifth, one out of five Americans are Bible skeptics. Of that 20%, 78% of that group are considered Bible hostile. That means that they view the Bible as a book of teachings written by men intended to manipulate and control other people. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? That's 15% of Americans, 14 to 15% of Americans, believe that this Bible was written to manipulate and control other people. And they're hostile towards God's Word. Does that surprise you? It doesn't surprise me. You know what does surprise me? That's the 1% difference between the hostiles or the skeptics / hostiles and the Bible engaged. The ones that read their Bible 4 times a week. And they believe it might have some errors in it. Does that shock you? Some of these statistics stagger me at how varied the understanding of God's Word is in this country. This country. The one that has the Bible Belt. The one that was founded upon Christian principles and morality. Christian morality, the morality of the Scriptures. See how far we've degraded. The Bible, I want to read some. The Bible cites itself, not cite like sees. But it references itself. Deuteronomy 4:1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you. Who's speaking here? God is. For to do them that you may live and go in and possess the land which your Lord God, which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. The Bible is inspired by God. Revelation 1:11. This is the Lord speaking. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. Write. I'm going to limit most of my comments and reading down here to where he was talking about write. Not to mention the talking part. And send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Matthew 26:54. But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that it must be? This is the Lord when the multitude came to get Him in the garden. Jesus asked them a question. But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out against a thief? I'm sorry, are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Luke 24:27, this is on the road to Emmaus. Y'all remember them two brethren? And the Lord talked with them, and he says, and he joined himself to them, and he says, 24:27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Do you think God's Word came from God? Do you think that It was important to Jesus to tell the people, to remind them that all of those things that God inspired those men to write down was talking about me. Romans 1 and 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, the good news of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. There he is again. Holy Scriptures. Concerning his Son Christ, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began but is now made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Oh, Paul's saying, he keeps hammering this and says that God is the author of these scriptures. He's the one that gave the word to the prophets. They wrote it down. 1 Corinthians 2 and 11. Now, this isn't not so much about what he wrote, but I couldn't leave it alone. For what man knoweth, this is 1 Corinthians 2 and 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. We're talking about knowledge now, right? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Just because these words are holy and inspired by God does not mean that they are going to quicken a wicked man by his logic of understanding words. What did Paul say right here? He said that the only way for you to be able to be wise unto salvation in reading these is if you've been born of the Spirit of God. That's the only way. I can go and preach these words to a wicked man and read these words to a wicked man, and it's not going to do anything for him but maybe increase his head knowledge about what I think about it. Amen? Y'all agree with that? If you don't, you believe in gospel regeneration. And that ain't so. Just like my words have no power to raise the dead out here, I could preach as loud as I wanted to, and not one of them dead folks in that cemetery would come up. Not one dead alien sinner would ever be quickened by my words. Not one. No matter how blue in the face I got or how loud I talked to him. They've got to be spiritually discerned. If 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Are y'all starting to get the feeling that these words are God's words and He's serious about His words? Paul didn't hem-haw around and say, he did say, I'm just a man, but he did not diminish the words that God commanded him to speak and to write down. 2 Peter 1 and 20. knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Is God in control of that? Yes, He is. He was then, and He still is. He still, when you have a man of God standing up in the name of God to preach the Word of God, and it's attended by the Spirit of God, it comes to you by the power of God, and you're able to hear it by the grace of God to the glory of God. Isn't that right? I'm not going to deceive you. I don't want to. It's not my goal to do that. But there are people out there whose goal it is to deceive you concerning this word. Now, holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost not only to write. Can you think? I mean, I want y'all to think about the visions of Daniel. The 70 weeks, you know, and all those things that he wrote about, things that he had no idea would come to pass. I mean, about the times and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he even talked about in times and times and time and a half and all that. What does that mean? I can't figure it out. Do you think Daniel figured it out? But what did the angel tell unto him? He said, you seal this up. You seal it up. You write it. He said, that's all I'm going to give you. I'm not going to give you no more. He told him to write it down. How many times did the angel tell people to write and speak? Second Peter 3:15, an account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also concerning to the according to the wisdom given unto him hath written unto you. Peter said, Paul's written these things to you, and that knowledge and wisdom that he got from God. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood. Amen. There are some hard things to understand in this scripture. Which, and you know why I think one reason why they're hard to understand is because we're too stubborn to look at things in a good light, in a proper light and perspective. You know, if y'all ever just sat back and looked at things from God's perspective, tried to look at things from God's perspective instead of our own limited view. I try to do that. I fail miserably at it, but I try. Things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. That means W-R-E-S-T. They wrestle with it. They struggle with it. The unlearned and unstable struggle with it. So what are these scriptures for? They're to help us. Have you ever heard? You know, and that's one of it. Brother Jerry brought it up today. There's a lot of people that are unlearned and unstable. And I'm going to say this just as gentle and as easy as I can. But I didn't say it. Peter said it. Okay? Peter said there's some unlearned and unstable people out there that struggle with what Paul wrote. And what did Paul write in his epistles? Ephesians 1, Romans 8. He talked about predestination. He talked about all of those wonderful doctrines that we love. Have you ever tried to hear, listen to some folks try to explain those doctrines of the Bible and butchered it up as bad as I do when I start cutting up a bunch of meat? But why? It's because, again, I didn't say it. Peter said they're unlearned and unstable, and they wrestle with those things. And you talk about confusion. When you don't have God in His proper perspective, and you don't understand that God and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one, and that they all were successful at their offices. And when you don't, you know, when you don't understand that Jesus Christ was given a people, and He came and He procured salvation for that people, and that they're taking Him, He's taking them home one day. When you don't understand that, you're going to wrestle with the things that Paul wrote. You're going to wrestle with what God said in His inspired Word, written down by men of God. You're going to struggle with it. Now, he says, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, W-R-E-S-T, wrestle, they wrestle with, as they do also the other Scriptures. Not just what Paul was talking about, they got other problems with Scriptures, unto their own destruction. What's the purpose of the minister? It's to help you learn. It's to pull you out of the fire even sometimes, if you're on the road to destruction. It's to instruct you in righteousness. Now, Revelation 22 and 18. This is the last one. I'm going to quit. For I testify. This is God talking, see? Now, if the God's testifying something, you reckon His testification. You believe His testifying is true? Y'all, I started to say that, really. Do y'all believe that His testimony is true? God said, I testify. Now, if there ever was a witness on the witness stand testifying, God ain't lying. Amen. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. You believe he meant what he said? I believe he meant what he said. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Don't confuse that with the Lamb's book of life. That's this book of life. And out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Wow. Is God serious about His inspired Word? God is serious about His inspired Word. But it seems to me that less than 20% of Americans are serious about God's Word. They can't even figure out whether it's inspired without errors or not. I'm concerned about that, but you know what I'm immediately concerned about? I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about you. I want you to remember that this, I'm reproving you now. I'm proving again. This is God's Word. It was inspired. You know what the opposite of inspired is? Expired. Inspired by God. It has the connotation of breathing into. Like breathing into. I pray that we're reading this Bible more than 4 days a week. I pray that we're engaged at a much higher percentage than these are. I pray that when you come upon someone who is unlearned and unstable, I pray that you'll know enough about this inspired word to teach them something and put their feet upon a rock. Set them upright. I pray. I've probably done this before. Brother Jerry, hold your Bible up. You see that Bible? Look at it. The man whose Bible is falling apart probably isn't. Let that sink in. If you got a nice shiny Bible and it's never opened, it's not doing you a bit of good. It's not. Coming to church on Sunday morning and hearing God's Word is a good thing, but it's not the only thing that you need to be doing concerning God's Word. Amen? Amen. Doors of the church are open for reception of members. Should any have that great desire to follow Jesus Christ in the path of righteousness, along with this little band of believers here, may the Lord bless you this week. Amen.